It's a real pleasure for me to welcome our good friend Tim Noble back to Bethesda Church this morning. Tim agreed to preach this morning, and I'm so grateful and so thankful and so excited to hear what the Lord has put on his heart for us this morning. Tim is currently the director of Mission Fest Manitoba, and he served as a missionary in Thailand for 20 years, and I think in China for 4 years before that. So he has plenty of experience and many important things to say. So let's welcome Tim.
Thank you very much, Yuri. It's a real pleasure to be here again. It's been quite a while since I've been here at Bethesda. It's good to see everybody here. Mark and Shelley, real pleasure to see you again here. So, as Yuri said, I'm Tim Noble with OMF International. Still am with OMF. And I'm the regional representative for OMF, and basically mobilizing the church, getting the church engaged and involved in missions, in the Great Commission. And I am the director for Mission Fest Manitoba. Just a little bit of an advertisement for Mission Fest here, February 7th to 9th. Yeah, it seems like it's a while ways away, but it's coming. It's coming. Especially those of us on the team putting it together, it's coming. So we're looking forward to that. We've got some great speakers. Brian Hogan, who's a popular perspectives speaker, will be one of our speakers. We've got Andrew Goodman, who's from Southeast Asia, who has been working in Southeast Asia among a people group that is transnational. And actually himself, he himself is half Burmese. And then we have Nard Pugyaw, who grew up 7 years old in the Philippines. And he, at that time, they didn't have a Bible. They didn't have missionaries. They didn't have any news of the gospel there. And then missionaries from Wycliffe came and began translating the Bible. Nard started helping them. He became a believer. He's got a fantastic story. Ended up becoming a pilot. Imagine a seven-year-old little young boy from this tribal group becoming a pilot for Jungle Aviation and Radio Service, JARS. And I'm sure that you'll really enjoy that. If you want to talk with me more about perspectives as well, but about Mission Fest or OMF afterwards, I'll be available at it. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Now, this phrase here, we probably, when we hear it, might not quite get the whole impact of good news from a distant country. So, we tend to read this from our own context, right? Here in North America, what is our context? Instant messaging, phone calls, just anywhere in the world, really. You've got email. You've got all of this instant communication in this world. That wasn't the world at the time of Solomon. At the time of Solomon, it would take days, weeks, maybe longer for a message to go from one place to another, especially if it's coming from a distant country, right? So we have to change our mindset a little bit at this point and say, okay, this good news from a distant country, it's taking time. There's a time of anxiety, a time of waiting, of anticipation. What's happening? And with that comes a little bit of this loss of control, saying, I wish I could do something, but it's just so far, I can't do anything. Let me give you an example. Back in the early 90s, 1991, summer of 91, I was in China at the time. And, of course, no email. Well, there was email, but it was only academics or people in the military who would have access to something at that point in time. I didn't discover it until 93 at the University of Illinois, which is one of the birthplaces of the Internet. At But in 1991, no internet, even a phone. I didn't have a phone access. There was a public phone. It would cost me about half a month's salary to phone home in the States. Okay, because I was in China working at a university there. And so really cut off. And I had gotten the news that my father had left the family. Talk about feeling helpless. Talk about feeling like, oh, I wish I could hear. What's the news? What's going on? And I'm waiting and I'm waiting. 4th of July came around, and the U.S. Embassy held a big event there celebrating Independence Day. And I and my teammates all went to that. And one of the things they offered there was something that was like apples of gold in a setting of silver, that we could make a phone call back to the States. So I made a phone call to my mom. Turns out, I found out in that phone call, my father had returned home. What relief. What an amazing sense of refreshment and release there that came with that news. And I actually got to talk with him a little bit in that phone call. And so I can identify a little bit with the context there of that distance, that good news from a distant country. Now, when we look at the Bible, there are not a lot of examples of good news from a distant country. Yeah, Yuri read one this morning about, in Acts 17, and the good news of the gospel often traveled a lot of places with Paul, especially back in the time of Solomon. That was not common. The good news of Jesus was not known in the same way. So I'm wondering what was going through Solomon's mind when he's writing this, good news from a distant country. He could have been thinking of his father David, and yet when his father David received the news that Saul was dead, he did not receive it as good news, right? He actually had the man who brought that news executed because he claimed to have killed Saul. The man who brought the news that Absalom was dead thought he was bringing good news. It was not good news. It was not good news. And David went into this mourning. And so I don't think those are what Solomon was thinking about at that time, although for Solomon they may have been good news. Maybe the best example I can find from the Old Testament is the story of Joseph. Joseph was sent off as a slave to Egypt. Jacob, his father, thought that he was dead. And his brothers kind of hid that news from him for years and years, about 17 years, if I remember correctly. And then the brothers had to go down to Egypt to get food because there was a famine. And there, over time, and eventually, Joseph revealed, I am your brother Joseph. And I am alive. Is my father alive? And they brought this news from Egypt to Jacob. And Jacob, let me read a little bit of that story from Genesis chapter 45. They bring this news to Jacob, and he couldn't believe it. And so they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. They told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob, whose name meant deceiver, thought, oh, this is a cruel trick. His heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived, like cool water into a weary soul. Jacob's heart revived there. So that might be an example of something that would be akin to that. Maybe you've received some good news. Maybe you've received some news that just really refreshed your soul, something that you'd waited for, you felt out of control, and that news came in as like, yes, yes, I've been waiting for this news for so long. Maybe it's some news of a paper, something coming through, some government documents coming through, good news of family from a distant country, something like that. But of course, the greatest news of all is the news of Jesus Christ, which is now being taken all over the world and has been taken all over the world. Let's start off with the question of what is this good news of Jesus? Let's do this really quickly here. And I think I was going to do something different, but I'm going to follow Yuri's lead and follow the model of truth and reconciliation, because I think that is certainly one of the best ways of framing the good news of Jesus Christ. There's truth. What is this truth? This truth that we have rebelled against God. Every one of us has distanced ourselves. We have been in rebellion and cut off from God because of that rebellion. And yet, God has reconciled us to himself through the blood of Jesus, who has paid for our sin and has brought us back into, has opened the door that we can be brought back into relationship with him. That's through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That's one way of expressing it. Now, there are many places in this world where that good news has still not reached. I was looking at Joshua Project this last week. There are still some 7,000 plus unreached people groups around the world. That's people groups that do not have the resources, do not have the population to be able to tell that good news of Jesus to the rest of the people within their people group. Of those 7,000, there are, according to Joshua Project, about 3,000 groups where not only is there not sufficient people to bring the gospel, there's no one. No one in the entire people group, or maybe just a handful, two or three, five people that know this good news of Jesus. And there's no Bible in their language. There's no messenger. There's no church. Nothing. They are still waiting. Now, recently I was in a Zoom call with someone who works in a large country in Asia. And he was talking about progress against these unengaged, those are called unengaged, unreached people groups. And he said that when he began this work of trying to connect churches and peoples to these unengaged, unreached people groups, there were 91 of these unengaged, unreached people groups in the country that he was working in. 91. That might seem a lot. But after a few years of working, connecting people, bringing them together, and giving this vision of reaching these unengaged, unreached people groups, that number was brought down to 17. 17. This gospel of the kingdom of God is going forth. And could reach every people group within our lifetime if the church will engage. If the church will engage. I want to compare that to Hudson Taylor's day. Hudson Taylor, founder of OMF, at that time the China Inland Mission, he went to China in 1853. And his first few years that he was there, he was learning. He was starting to be learning Chinese and going inland a little bit. He went on these preaching tours. And on one of these preaching tours, he went to a town called Ningbo in Zhejiang province. It was a little bit inland. It was not on the coast where most of the missionaries and all of the tradespeople, all of the foreigners were. As he preached, there was a young man in the back of that crowd, a young scholar by the name of Ni Yongfa. And Ni Yongfa listened and listened, and at the end of Hudson Taylor's sermon, he stood up and said, "I have waited all my life for this good news. Henceforth, I will be a follower of Jesus Christ." Then he turned to Hudson Taylor and he asked, "How long has this good news of Jesus been known in your country?" Taylor kind of sheepishly responded, "Oh, for hundreds of years." "What? Hundreds of years? You've known this good news of Jesus for hundreds of years? My father spent his entire life looking for this good news. He never found it. His father before him was looking for this good news. He never found it. Why didn't you come earlier?" "Why indeed? Why indeed? And why do people still have to wait? I know there are obstacles. I know there are places it's hard to go to. But for God, there is no obstacle too great, no mountain high enough, no valley deep enough, no ocean wide enough to stop this good news of the kingdom from getting to the people who are still waiting. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a distant country. Now, how we present that good news of Jesus is also very important. Yuri giving, talking with the children here, and he's very appropriately speaking with them. But suppose that he's up here and he's talking and he's giving fairly academic language, and very Christianese, or perhaps even expressed in academic musical terminology. The kids are going to go, "Huh?" They're not going to understand, right? So it is when we bring the good news to others. Not changing the good news itself, right? The good news stays the same. And yet how we express that does change. I'd like to read those three verses that the children and Yuri read from the International Children's Bible, which I believe is probably the best translation, even better than the ESV, imagine that, for these three verses. Verse 11, "The right word spoken at the right time is as beautiful as gold apples in a silver bowl. The warning of a wise person is valuable to someone who will listen. It is worth as much as gold earrings or fine gold jewelry. A trustworthy messenger refreshes those who send him. He is like the coolness of snow in the summertime." I want to give you an example from my life fairly recently of expressing the gospel in different terms than what we might normally express them to someone, and it hits home. A couple months ago, I was traveling back from Asia, and I had to catch a flight in Vancouver. I was catching a taxi to the airport. And while the woman who picked me up, 4:30 in the morning from India, she's an Indian woman, very talkative, it's wonderful. And she started by asking, "What do you do?" So I said, "I work for an organization that brings the good news of Jesus to people around the world." And so, of course, she starts talking about her own beliefs, right? And she talks a lot about morality and being good and so on. And then she made a very interesting comment. She says, "We all try our very best to be good. And of course, we don't all quite make it. We don't make it, and we aren't as good as we know we should be. But we all try. Talk about an open door to the gospel. An open door to the gospel. So I said, what you're saying is so true. None of us, and I remembered that people from India, generally speaking, people from India tend to think in terms of purity and pollution, of clean and unclean. And so I said to her this. I said, you are absolutely right. All of us are like unclean people, and we're not clean. We're not as pure as we know we should be. But that's the whole reason that Jesus came, to purify us, to cleanse us, to purify our hearts so that our lives would change and be more the way that we know they should be. And he showed, and Jesus did this by his death on the cross. And I didn't go on to talk about it, but I could have gone on, should have gone on to say. And he set a stamp of proof on this cleansing by his resurrection from the dead. Now that might sound a bit strange to you. And I also concluded this. He did all of this so that we can be reconciled and live with a holy God who loves us. Now, that might sound a bit strange to some of you. Is that biblical language? Let me just ask. Just nod yes, no, I've never heard this before. Yeah, if you go through the Bible, everything I said comes straight from the Bible. Look especially at, for example, 1 John 1:9. All of this. And so many other verses. The Bible talks a lot about holiness, about purity. Baptism is a purification ceremony. There's a whole lot there about purity. That's not the way we talk about the gospel here in North America a lot, because our culture is different. Could we? We could. We learn a lot by learning these other ways of expressing the gospel. Our brothers and sisters from Africa might think of some other words from the Bible that resonate with them more than, say, the four spiritual truths or the four spiritual laws, the legal framework way of expressing the gospel, which is true. I'm not saying abandon those. I'm saying the Bible presents other ways of expressing that same truth. Let me mention that coming up later this month, Saturday, October 26th, Mission Fest Manitoba and Welcome Church are going to be putting on an event. This will be held at Filipino United Community Church, and Saturday, October 26th from 1 to 4 p.m., one of the sessions that we'll be doing, I will be expanding more on this idea of how can we express the gospel in ways that resonate with those that we talk to. And I'll even mention another one that will be held in the basement here, November 2nd. It'll be a Heart for Asia OMF event. And among those, Andy Smith is going to talk about spiritual movements, movements that some have turned into disciple-making movements, have turned into church planting movements where we've seen rapid spread of the gospel among a people. So you won't want to miss that. I'll be talking about my time in Southeast Asia amongst Muslims earlier this year. And you won't want to miss those. So please talk with me afterwards. And you can register through Eventbrite. So, how we bring the gospel, how we express the gospel is very important. The right word spoken at the right time. And let me just say a word about that particular phrase. In the Hebrew, the right word, the word davar, the word is word, okay? But then as this enigmatic expression that translates roughly as a turning wheel, a turning wheel. And it's never used in any of the translations, but a turning wheel. And then that kind of word is like, as beautiful as gold apples. Basically what it is this picture of a wheel that's in perfect alignment. You know what it's like when you've got a wheel that's kind of wonky, right? And things aren't kind of going, you know. But if you've got a wheel that's in alignment, especially bicyclists. Any bicyclists here? All right, yeah. If you have a wheel that's out of alignment, you know, okay? You know it. But if you've got it just perfectly in alignment, just smooth sailing. And so I like the translation in the International Children's Bible. The right word spoken at the right time. The right word at the right time. You've all experienced that, right? Where someone has said just the right word to either comfort you or to bring you some kind of news. Now, I have some good news for all of you. Did you know that when we are faithful in expressing the good news of Jesus Christ, in bringing this message faithfully, we refresh God's heart? Have you ever considered that? Let's read verse 13. A trustworthy messenger refreshes who? Those who send him. It's like the coolness of snow in the summertime. When we are faithful, you refresh the one who has sent us, Jesus. Isn't that special that you can refresh God's heart by your faithfulness in bringing the good news, whether it's across the street or around the world? The phrase there, the coolness of snow in the summertime, it's not about a snowstorm. It's not about a snowstorm in the summertime. There is a different proverb about that. But it's in the mountains of Lebanon, which is under attack right now. In the mountains, there's snow pretty much year-round. And those who could afford it could send a messenger up to bring some of that snow down, to bring refreshment and coolness to those who have been working in the summer heat, in the time of harvest there, when you're out in that heat the most. So that's sort of the idea. It's a very refreshing picture, very similar to verse 25, where it says, like cold water to a thirsty soul. So it's a very similar picture there. So we can refresh God's heart. Like good news from a distant country, like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. We can all be part of that and bring refreshment to parts of this world that still are waiting for the good news of Jesus. There are many ways of being involved. By going is one option. By welcoming those who are coming, and I see we're doing a good job at this church of welcoming those from around the world. There's also praying. How often do we pray for those around who are taking the gospel around the world? And that's what the OMF Heart for Asia is about, and that's what the OMF prayer group is about. We can pray, we can send, and I see that we've still got several people that are sent out by this church, and mobilizing, learning through the Perspectives course. There's many ways that we can be involved. So I want to encourage you to seek out, what is God calling you to? What is God calling each of you to? How can you refresh his heart? What is God calling you to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness, for your goodness to us, and I want to thank you for this good news of Jesus, that we can bring good news that will refresh the hearts of those who hear it, refresh the lives, bring new life to those who hear it. pray, Father, you would give us the strength. You would speak to each of us and thinking about how we can be engaged, how we can be involved. And Lord, just to refresh your heart, Lord, may you be refreshed by the people of this congregation as they serve you, as they bring your good news to a world that is in desperate need of good news right now. Pray this in Jesus' name.